and every guest that you ever needed. Sports Cards After Hours keep the hobby heated. Updates, hobby talk like you never seen it. Sports Cards Live and none could ever beat it. Sports Cards is a lifestyle. Sports Cards and we live now. Welcome to another episode of Sports Cards Live with your host, Jeremy Lee.
Here I am. Here we go, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. This is episode 117 of Sports Cards Live. It's Saturday night, October the 9th, 2021. My name is Jeremy Lee, as you know, or you should know by now. Thank you for joining. I want to thank last Saturday's guest, Michael Osaki, PSA lead authenticator, and John Beyer from Slab Shell for joining us. A little bit later on tonight, on After Hours, Scott Rogowski of HQ Trivia fame and the new show Wild Cards will be joining us. Once that is over, guys, I was going to say to everybody, go check out the crossover on Instagram, but they're starting early too, so have to catch those all in syndication later. Tomorrow night, I will be doing Collectible Live again, and my guest will be Rob Servideo. He's also known as That's the Old Price on Instagram. It's going to be really awesome. He's known as the Mahomes guy. Check that out tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, on the Collectible YouTube channel. And next Saturday on Sports Cards Live, our guest will be Brian Dwyer. He is the president of Robert Edwards Auctions. Check that out. Will be very interesting for sure. All right. As always, guys, I want to shout out the Big Three Hockey on Instagram. Give them a follow. Check them out. I also want to shout out both the Toronto Sport Card Expo that is going to be November 11th to 14th. Just right by the Toronto airport. And then the following weekend, November 9th to 19th to 21st, is the Western Canada Card Show in Vancouver. I'll be at both of them, guys. The websites are on the ticker and the dates right now. Check them out. Hope to see you there. Also want to shout out channel supporters, Whatnot. Check out the Whatnot app for 1 minute auctions, buy it now shows hosted around the clock by some of the best breakers in the hobby. It's a safe environment with the community of avid collectors and buyers. They also have other collectibles, including Pokemon, Funko, MetaZoo, comics, and more. Shout out all the podcast listeners. As always, you know how much I appreciate you and all the subscribers and viewers of this show. Thanks to everybody for continuing to come out and check it out. And if you're not yet subscribed, please go ahead and do so. Now, we do have a guest joining us. He is running behind. Darren is running behind. He was just sort of hopping off an airplane, checking into his hotel in Vegas. And so we are just going to start without him, because he is not yet here. So I welcome your comments. I welcome your questions. Feel free. We can talk about whatever you want. In the meantime, I do have a story or two to tell, so we will get to that. But let's just say hello. We got Frank Estella. Good evening, Frank. Great to see you. Jeff Hart, glad to have you. Troy, always happy to have you. Darren will be here. He will be here. Charles, good to see you as well. What is up? Not a heck of a lot. I kind of rushed to get here, and then Darren was supposed to be checked into his hotel, and you know how that can go, and he is heading to the fight later on tonight, so pretty excited for him. Junk Wax, hello, hello, hello. So while we're waiting for Darren to get here, hopefully he does. I mean, I can't even make any promises tonight. You just never know with travel and that, but he has been keeping in touch, so I do expect him to be here shortly. In the event he doesn't come, well, we'll just make it one of those kind of freestyle shows, and it'll be all about whatever you guys want to talk about. Daniel, thank you. Hopefully we can uphold that that claim this evening. We shall see, but I appreciate the comment for sure. So in the meantime, guys, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. So I bought this Wayne Gretzky rookie card, and I'll show it to you. If anyone follows me on Instagram, I did do a quick Instagram live kind of reveal couple days ago when I opened up the package, but here's the card. So it's a raw. I bought this raw 79 OPC Gretzky rookie card, and I bought it from somebody who I trust, who I pretty much know and have been in the same hobby insider community with for many years. Had no fear or no sort of concerns that the card might be altered or fake or anything like that. And it, you know, the price was right, basically the price of what a PSA one would go for. I'm going to just take it out of the holder and show you all what I picked up. So again, 79 OPC Gretzky. I know it doesn't show up great on these cameras, but the centering, you'll notice, is really, really, really good. The the registration, the focus is also really good. I'm just going to put it in front. You can see the, I don't know if it's going to come in. There we go. The oil drop is like perfectly nestled in the pocket there. You can see there's really no focus issues. The black lines are tight against the blue, right where you want them to be. Really good print quality. Now, it does have issues, though. You'll notice the top corners, the bottom corners, are both, you know, all the corners have some issues, a bit of some weird funkiness around the edges, and especially right over here, something going on there. But again, so I bought the card basically from some really poor sort of pictures. They weren't great. All I could really tell was the corners weren't awesome, and I could tell that it was very well centered and it had great focus. So I thought, you know what? I'm willing to take a chance on it. I trusted the seller, had no issues with the seller whatsoever. No fear that it would be altered or fake. I knew that wasn't going to be the case just because who I was dealing with. It does have several light scratches right in the bottom quadrant, right in the bottom left quadrant, right around here. So again, I'll try and see if you can try and make it so you can see these. And those I did not see those in the pictures that I saw, so I was unaware of them. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're paying, you know, like a decent price for a raw card, you're gonna have some surprises. So a couple of things, you know, I posted it up and someone said, well, you want to make sure that it's not fake. Well, I trusted the seller. That wasn't even going to be an issue for me. So when you're buying kind of like raw cards like this, it's, you know, you can buy the odd raw card and you can buy raw cards that may not be, they might be good. You know, there's several raw cards out there that aren't trimmed. They're not inauthentic and all these things, but it's important that you know kind of who you're buying from and that you get your vouchers and all that. So in this case, again, this is somebody who I'd been part of a community with for 15, close to 20 years and had no concerns whatsoever that there would be any issues with the card. I see a comment here. Jordan says, why didn't he grade it? You know, great question, Jordan, but it's one that like not everybody sends cards in for grading. I think that's the hobby seems to think that if a card isn't graded, there's something wrong with it. And I'm not saying that isn't the case. That will be the case in many situations, but it's not always the case. The person I bought it from, I don't know exactly. I think he's a little bit older, probably just didn't want to go through sending it in for grading and waiting as long as it may take. Just wanted to, had the card, wanted to convert it to cash. And I made an offer and he took the offer. So, I don't know why he didn't grade it. I didn't ask why he didn't grade it because that didn't even occur to me like it does so many people nowadays. It just depends who you're buying from. And if, you know, if someone's got a 1,000 graded cards in their showcase or collection and there's only a half a dozen that aren't graded, you know, maybe it's worth asking the question. But I don't think it's worth asking the question of everybody all the time. Just me. Any other questions on that, though? Fire away. You know, I will probably get it graded. I think it'll come back at least a 2.5, maybe even a 3, 3.5. I don't think it'll be a 4. But again, you know, the centering is like perfect. The registration focus is perfect. The surface isn't perfect. It's got scratches on it. But corners, edges, you know, it was a really great card. I think eventually it'll make someone very happy, if not myself. Daniel, how am I feeling this week? Yeah, guys, I appreciate that, Daniel. I was sick last week. If you were tuned in, you probably noticed that. I'm feeling better. I'm still coughing a little bit, but the energy is back, so I'm feeling a lot better. Appreciate that. Daniel, Troy, how is the task of going through the collection of boxes that you bought to your left? Yeah, I haven't been going through them very much, Troy, but Troy is talking about that stack right there. It goes deeper, actually. I think those are about 5 or 6 boxes high. So I've gone through it a little bit, but I haven't gone through it completely. And, you know, I'm, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, guys, I am scheduled. I've booked my travel. I booked my hotel, my flight, and my rental car for both the expo in Toronto, again, November 11th to 14th. I'll be there the whole time. And I've also booked my flight, hotel, and rental car for the Vancouver show, November 19th to 21. The promoter of that show, Dale Novakowski from Bossa Shows, will be joining us on the show here. I think it's November 6th, a week or two in advance of his show to talk about it. He does a great job. He's been promoting shows for decades. Does a really good job. And this will be my second time attending this particular show that he does. And last time it was great. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait. It's got I've got two shows back-to-back weekends. Flights are booked. It's going to be a November is going to be a great month for card shows for this guy. And I've got lots of inventory to take with me. So if you guys are there, if you're going to be at the Toronto show, you're going to be at the Vancouver show, make sure you come by, say hello. I can't wait to meet people I haven't met yet. And if I already met you, come by, say hello again. Definitely. Canadian sports card collector. How do I feel about UD overlapping 2021 and 1-2 product release dates? It's a bit confusing. Yeah. So great question. Canadian sports card collector. This is something that's been going on for quite some time. You know, the cup has always come out a little bit late. You know, in the early years when it first, you know, like 05, 06, 06, 07, I think it came out in May, June, and it's slowly gotten pushed back to like November. And, you know, in August, they've got the next year's cards already coming out. So my thoughts are, honestly, it doesn't bother me because number one, there's a couple of things. First of all, it's out of their control. They have no way to get these out earlier at this point in time. It's just got to do with their printing vendors. There's absolutely nothing they can do about it, and they don't want it to go that way, but it does. So at the end of the day, you just got to know what you're buying. You got to know, are you buying a 2021 product or a 21-22 product? And I mean, there's still Ultimate Premier SP Authentic, the cup still to come out from last year. And these things are going to be late. That's just the way it is. I mean, we're in a challenging time right now. So we have to kind of suck it up a little bit. I think be lenient with them, with Upper Deck and any other of the card companies that are releasing their products late this year. Be lenient with them. I mean, be as understanding as you can be. And keep in mind that hopefully this is a temporary thing. And it doesn't, although who knows with the way the hobby's going. So those would be my thoughts. It doesn't bother me at all, personally. So we'll see. Jeffrey Hart, I learned about the oil drop from you. I can't help but look at it each time now. Yeah, well, you should. You should look at the oil drop. I mean, we're talking about a 79 Gretzky rookie, the oil drop that is right there within the Oilers logo in the bottom corner. That is often not centered within the pocket. And if it'll focus nicely again, we had it focused really nicely earlier, but this particular copy, that little orange oil drop is perfectly situated in the pocket. So that's what I look for when I am buying a Gretzky rookie. Okay, guys, Darren has joined us. Darren, I see you in the back. I am going to bring him on, guys, and we'll get back to your questions after. We don't have a lot of time with him. So, Darren.
I made it.
You're here. How did check-in go? You're checked in?
I'm checked in. The flight was delayed. I guess 45 minutes, not good on fight night in Vegas, but we made it. So right, she's out there, my girlfriend Nicolette, getting her makeup done by a makeup artist. I did the 5-minute change. Thank God I showered before I left and told them I'm getting ready to, I got to meet up with the matchmaking deal. I set up Oscar De La Hoya and Holly Saunders, both clients, and they're in love, happy. So we're heading to the fight with them in a little bit.
Well, that's nice. Well, say hi to Oscar for me. We don't go back at all, but say hi to him for me anyway. That'd be great.
He brought a lot of great memories to people. Yeah.
Well, listen, Darren, I mean, okay, we're here. I started the show about 15 minutes ago. Just thought we'd get going. But number one, thanks for not canceling. I know you maybe should have because you did have this opportunity to go to the fight tonight, the Wilder Fury fight with Oscar De La Hoya. Very cool. But I appreciate you still making time and prioritizing this. I do appreciate it. But we got some material we want to cover here. You've got some great stories. Yeah. And you've got a message as well that I want to make sure you get a chance to share with everybody. So let's get into it, though. You're an agent. You have celebrity clients yourself. How did you get into the marketing/agency business?
Well, I started a baseball card company in 1984. Some people say I was part of the young OG era. So any of your young kids that are listening out there bawling in the card industry, it wasn't mainly me. There was a guy named Mr. Mint, Alan Rosen, the Duke of Doe, the only, I'd say, sports card dealer that's had an E-page feature in Sports Illustrated. And it was just an epic time in my life. And from the baseball card industry, I eventually evolved into autograph signings. And from those signings, I had relationships with people like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, Chevy Chase, Pamela Anderson. I'm trying to think who else, but back then, Dennis Rodman. And I eventually started Prince Marketing Group, and Magic Johnson became my first client. And that's when the agency evolved.
Right on. Well, it's pretty cool. How do you go about adding new clients? Like, how do you attract them to your particular agency? What do you offer these guys?
I think with us, really, man, it's about the personal relationship. I think that's everything. I think we care so much about the person more so than the business. I mean, we come together on business, but at this stage in my life with all the talent that we have, Ric Flair, Charlie Sheen, Chevy Chase, Denise Richards, Carmen Electra, 90% is about life and, you know, how they're doing, how their families, how their kids are. And the business side of it is easy. You know, we've developed some incredible corporate relationships over the years with some of the biggest brands and Fortune 500, Fortune 100s, and a lot of great startup companies and partnerships. And I think that's the difference. Not saying that other agents don't care, but we really do care that much that you develop a love, a trust, and a bond. And I think that that's everything, because it's easy to look at them as dollar signs. Anybody can make these people money. I'm nobody special at being the so-called super agent. They're the ones that have developed an incredible craft, a skill, a legacy, whether it's an athlete, you know, on the field, on the court, in the ring. And, we're just fortunate and blessed to be a part of it and have the ability to go out there and pitch them to different brands and a lot of autograph signings too. They all do signings. You know, our friend Kyle Bell's got Magic and Chevy Chase exclusive for autographs and, you know, they both love them dearly. It's nice to know that I can take what I used to do and put it in the hands of somebody like Press Pass Collectibles and Bell Sports Marketing and just know they're in good hands and I can focus on the bigger things like the endorsements and the speaking engagements and the fun stuff.
I love to hear. You know, I have a very special place in my heart for Kyle and Press Pass Collectibles. So nice to hear that. You mentioned that your clients, they sign autographs. Do these celebrities like signing autographs? How do you convince them to do it, or do some like it and some not? Give us some context to that, because this is a sports card show. A lot of athletes do sign sports cards for the card companies. Give us a bit of insight into these guys, these athletes, these celebrities, and how they approach that and whether or not they like doing it.
You know, I think most of them do. I think they find the experience enjoyable. I mean, I think the public's a lot more work, but they also appreciate, you know, Hulk Hogan's, you know, and Magic are two of the best with the public. They always talk about, these people, I can't rush them. You know, they've waited their whole life to tell me a story about their mom, their dad, them. About a game, about when a Hulk's matches. And, you know, he's like, I'm not going to, you know, rush them through that experience. I want to make sure that they, you know, they get that time so they can say it was worth every, you know, all the years and whatever money they had to spend with the promoter for a photo op or an autograph. And when it's private and we're in a big hotel suite with a bunch of fun people from a company that make it easy and they got music going, telling stories, that's good too. We just want to make sure we're always around like a good crew. When it comes to private signings, because, you know, sometimes it could be a little bit all over the place, depending on the group and the company you're dealing with. You want to make sure it flows nice. And now authentication is so big. So you got JSA there, or Beckett, or, you know, PSA. And there has to be like a nice routine, because they're always on a set time limit when it comes to the private stuff.
Yeah. Okay. No, good stuff. Good stuff. So you mentioned that you were considered one of the OGs in the card business. And so you do have some pretty interesting stories. Why don't you tell, you know, a few stories about some of the big cards you've seen, the people you've dealt with, just, you know, a lot of people in the audience. You know, we've got people in this audience, Darren, who have been with in the hobby. We got lifers in the hobby 40 plus years, and we've got some newer people in the hobby as well. But yeah, Let's hear a few stories that may be kind of legendary, if you will. Because
I started getting press in the local newspaper at 14 years old in Livingston, New Jersey, the West Essex Tribune. And I got written up for this baseball card business that I started at the time as Baseball Card City, that eventually turned into Prince of Cards. And I got stopped by this guy, Mike Schwartz, in the hallway at high school. And he goes, my grandfather passed away. I read your article in the paper, and he's got these cigarette cards, these tobacco cards. They're really old and they're in tissue paper. And my dad thinks he's got like 2,000 of them. Would you have any interest? And I was like, yeah, you know, bring them by my house and I'll check them out. He wound up having 1,800 T206, T205 gold borders, polar rare backs, Piedmont backs, Ty Cobbs, the Sheree Maggie era was in there. Everyone was near me. flawless in these little tissue paper envelopes that must have been literally from 1909, 1910, 1911. And he, I basically got him to agree to take $5 a card. It was $9,000 for the entire collection. And I know I was making money then, but I didn't have enough. I was about $5,000 short. So my father sat me down, God bless him, may rest in peace, and said, look, are you sure you can sell these and make money? I'm like, Dad, I can easily double or triple my money. I'm telling you, I don't know about some of the minor leaguers and the Southern leaguers, but I'll study it. You got to understand back then, Jeremy, I don't know if you remember, if you heard of this, but there was no Beckett. There was a group called CCP. It was a newspaper magazine that would come once a week, current card price guide. That was it. So that was the stock market back then in 1984 for baseball cards, because basketball didn't mean anything. Football meant nothing. Hockey was crap. Wrestling was garbage. The only thing that mattered were baseball cards. So the next, I bought the collection. He lent me $5,000 for my bar mitzvah fund and said, if you don't pay this back in a month, your mother's going to kill us both. And that collection started me. I mean, I was selling some of those cards for, you know, $500, $1,000. And then a couple of months, the majority of them were commons that were Southern minor leaguers, were going for, you know, probably 30, 40, 50 bucks. And that started me. And then I really started getting some momentum. And my specialty was on open material, the vintage stuff, for all you pack breakers. I know everybody gets excited about the new stuff, and I still don't know enough about it. National Treasures, the Panini stuff, which is good and great. But I'm at a flea market in Watchung, New Jersey. I'm set up with my booth, and this promoter was a bodyguard, a big bodybuilder guy named Jamie DeLucchi, comes over. He goes, I know you have all these, like, unopened stuff from the 60s and 70s. I got this woman that's got these 61, 62 Fleer basketball packs or boxes. You have any interest? And I go, yeah, I'll go check it out. So before I got our house, she's in Bloomfield, New Jersey. My dad taught me a lesson. And he goes, your reputation, remember, is the hardest thing to uphold and the easiest thing to lose. You get one chance. Be fair with this woman. Make her a fair offer. You just never know who she knows. I never forgot that. So I go over to her house. I think at the time, maybe I was 16, and she pulls out the most beautiful, pristine 61, 62 Fleer unopened basketball box. The lid probably wasn't even lifted. I mean, you could almost hear like the snap of the cracks of the pack. It was meticulous. And I asked, can I touch the pack? She goes, of course. And each pack just like separated from each other perfectly, which when you deal with vintage and open like that, you never know because of the gum, the climate that those type of vintage boxes are stored in, because it could go right through the cards and you have complete garbage with gum stains. I could feel the gum loose. So now I'm getting crazy excited. I asked her to write down on a piece of paper what she wants for the box. And I said, I'm going to write it down. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I can easily sell these by the pack for, you know, $300-$400, maybe even more if there's 24 packs. Like, let me offer $7,500. And she basically says to me, I've got one more thing to show you. I said, okay. She comes out with two more boxes. She goes, you're very sweet. So I want to see if we could do a deal for all three. I said, okay, let me see your piece of paper. She's like, well, I got to change it now because it's all three. And I open up the piece of paper and she wrote $2,500 a box. I said, you know, that's a little bit more than I was willing to spend. I said, are you okay taking this? And it said $7,500 each box. And she burst it out in tears. It was an amazing feeling, an amazing lesson that I had for my dad. And crazy enough, she had two brothers that were accountants, the Rossi brothers in Long Island. And they would bring me cards from that series. And eventually I wound up getting an unopened case of 61, 62 Fleer basketball. I have a picture and I sent it to Kenny Golden, Darren Rovell with all the boxes stacked on it. And the whole story was apparently her husband owned a barbershop and a, I guess, a stationery store. And the set was so limited back then at 132 cards that the kids got, it was either 110 or 132. His kids got bored opening up two boxes and they were able to put a complete set together. They just put the stuff away.
That's crazy. To come across those boxes now would be...
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, Golden and Ravel were telling me, I mean, they're $300,000 a box or something right now. And then the last one, because I know you went against some other stuff, was I was in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, 1990. And I get a call on my cell phone. Now I'm really visible in the industry. We're running four or five pages a week in SCD, which is the Bible. And I get a call that there's a Honus Wagner available. And this would be my first of three that I handled. And I meet some guy, and he brings me to a family. And there's no grading back then, mind you. And I pick up the Wagner for $75,000. I got a picture of me holding it. I can send it to you after the interview. And I flipped it 3 days later. I flew to Houston, Texas to an oil tycoon for $120,000. Now, you know, I'm a 20-year-old kid. I made $45,000 on the flip. It was unbelievable. That card, I saw what the Lifson one just went to. This was higher. This was probably second or third to the McNeil Gretzky. And I was at that auction, that Sotheby's one that went for $451,000. So when I send those pictures to like I said, to Golden Revelle, they laugh their ass up because Kenny would be like, yeah, that's $8 million. Yeah, that case is worth $10 million. I had the only unopened 52 tops unopened wax box. I got a picture of me holding that too. And, you know, you're in the business back then, man. It's about turning and bunting your money. You don't think long term, hold the stuff. You know, yeah. Do I have regrets? I mean, I think it all got me to where I am right now. And, you know, I can't complain. I had an amazing run in the card industry, and I'm back in it now as a collector, and I'm loving it.
Tell us a little bit about the Gretzky McNeil purchase of the PSA 8 T206 Wagner at Sotheby's that day. You were there at the live auction. What was the, you know, nowadays the card, like we have these cards selling regularly for, you know, high six, seven digits. Back then, when that card sold for $451,000, that was headlines. I remember it very, very well. What was it like in the room that day? Was it a big deal? Like, Wayne's there?
It was incredible, man. We knew something. I think I told you a few days ago, we knew something special was happening with our industry. We knew that we were blue chip. We knew we were being watched by, you know, investors, Wall Street firms. It was groundbreaking. I mean, just to know that that was going on in our industry was like, holy crap. Well, and everything else in the room that day, I mean, you know, it was the Mantle rookies. It was the Mantle 51 Bowman, 52 tops, the Lajoie 33 Gaudet, the Roos, the Gehrigs. It was just everything was popping. And, you know, it made probably more than national news. And we just knew this was a special time, you know, no matter what it was, vintage and high grade. And again, there was no grading. I think the first company came out in 91. I pulled a 52 tops Pathco, the number one card out of a pack I opened one day at Bob Lee's Labor Day weekend show with my buddy Mark Murphy, who was the baseball card kid. And they graded, I think it was SBA or SGC. I don't remember the name of the company. They were the only ones that was around then. But that Sotheby's auction, man, was something special. That was incredible.
So, and how about this? What's the most amount of 52 tops Mickey Mantles you've ever held in your hand at once?
Well, when Alan Rosen came back from Massachusetts, I went to his office because I used to buy all the unopened stuff out of his auction.
Darren, tell everybody who Alan Rosen was.
So I'll go back into it. Alan Rosen, Mr. Mint, is the reason the card industry evolved into what it evolved into. He was the biggest mouthpiece. He was the Michael Jordan, the Muhammad Ali. He had the most historic finds in the history of the hobby. Any of these high-end 52 tops Mantle, 52 tops high numbers that people are saying came from Alan Rosen. Anything of 55 tops, 54 Bowman, you know, older stuff. He was a marketing machine, a marketing mouthpiece that we've never seen. And maybe Kenny Golden's doing a pretty good job in it now with his social media and what he's doing. He's a dear friend as well. But I think he would admit too, Rosen was the GOAT. He was the OG. He was the one that, you know, love him or hate him, he had a bit of an attitude to him. But he was a special one that, you know, took me under his wing. And when he came back from Massachusetts, I went down, I think it was a 73 tops high number rack case, which was the Mike Schmidt series I went to pick up. And he goes, hey, Prince, he goes, you want to see something? Come here. And he goes into his safe and literally pulls out, I think it was about 75, 52 tops Mantle. He goes, pick the one you want for 10 grand. He goes, put it away. I go, put it away. I said, Al, aren't you and my dad the ones that told me turn and burn your money? He goes, yeah, but you could afford it. You're a young, rich kid. Put it away. The thing will be worth 100 grand in a couple of years. You'll be thanking me. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wind up selling it. He goes, no, I'll kill you if you sell it. He goes, you got to put it away and give me your word it's going to be in a safe for a year or two. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm like, but these are gorgeous. I mean, they look almost fake. I'm like, look how white Mickey Mantle's teeth are. And I'm literally holding 75. And I know there's some out there. I've read there's, what, two tens that these guys are billionaires or worth hundreds of millions. They wouldn't take $50 million. I mean, I look back, I'm like, I was holding billions of dollars of the finest 52 tops metal high numbers. And again, you know, didn't realize it. I knew they were worth a bunch of money, but who would have thought if I would have just taken one, you know?
Oh, imagine that. Hey, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here trying to find a nice PSA 1 or 1.5 one of these months. And to think that back then you could have had them, but hey, we all have those, wish I could go back in time stories, don't we? So yep. Here, I want to pull up, we have a Rich Klein. You might be familiar with Rich Klein, says he knew you back in New Jersey.
Of course.
Knew you way back in the day, says he great says guy. Says he's a good guy, but a great story on his life as well. So why don't we take a few minutes? Sure. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I just had to let the room service go in for my girl. Rich okay. Klein. Yeah, we go way back. Great guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and he's still very active in the hobby. So listen, you are a best-selling author. You have a book called Aiming High, and it really is a story. No, I admit I have not read it, but I believe it's a story of your journey. Why don't you, before I let you actually get into it, you know, I think it's important to preface it by saying that, you know, mental health is important. It's important that we have an awareness in society, of course, but even in the hobby right now. And you made some comments the other day about how, you know, mental health and the hobby. So I'm going to let you take it away, Darren. Just speak to, you know, tell us a bit about your journey and why you believe that we as a hobby community need to have some awareness around mental health.
So, you know, that this is my favorite topic. So I was a hardcore opiate addict, functioning opiate addict for 24 years from the time I was 14 until I fell to my knees at 38. But the money, the notoriety, the power, you know, the so-called super agent BS that I believed every bit of it, because, you know, as a young kid, I was classified as having a learning disability. I was verbally teased. And when the baseball card industry came into my life, all of a sudden the feeling of less than and not part of went right away, because now I was the guy. Now I'm like, look at me, I was the shy dumb one, I was the one that wouldn't make it, look at all you. And it went from the baseball cards, the memorabilia signings, and then eventually to representing some of the most iconic names in the world. And I you know, I lost myself. I completely lost myself. And so I think mental health, depression, anxiety, you know, stress, bipolar, we got to talk about this more, because it's an impulsive industry too. It's quick money, it's instant gratification. And I know there's so many young kids out there that are just like Darren Prince is and was. And, you know, my favorite thing, I speak all over the world. I've done 250 speaking engagements in the past 3 years. And my favorite group are the kids. And to get to your audience, as I told Buster when I did his podcast, would be the greatest privilege, because don't let that money define who you are. You know, you got to get in touch with yourself. If you know that things aren't right, just speak to somebody. Speak up. You guys can message me at @agent_DP on Instagram. I've been there. I lived it. Just because that money's coming, if you've got those feelings of lessons and inadequacies, and that's making you feel there's nothing wrong with financial success. Everybody needs it, loves it. It's validation. But when it's so young, as I've seen with some of the most iconic athletes, celebrities, musicians, nobody gives you a handbook how to deal with that money, that type of money at such a young age. And, you know, I like I said, I lived it. And by the grace of God, I was suicidal, beaten, broken on July 2nd, 2008. I fell to my knees and I called out and asked for help. And I had a true white light moment in my life. I said, God, take the money to notoriety, the business. I can't take this anymore. And I rose to my feet with the last of my opiates in my hand, my painkillers, and I flushed them down the toilet. And I heard the voice, I've got you and you're ready. And I said, if you take me out of hell, I will spend one day at a time for the rest of my life, take another day out with me. Because I don't want people suffering the way that I did. I don't want people living this double life, this imposter syndrome, which Darren Prince lived for so long. You know, the money and the age in life, and the fact that I'm going to the fight tonight and all these great things that gets, that's not what makes me cool. The fact that I want to tell kids that makes me cool is that I started to love myself from the inside. 13 years ago when I started this journey, I started to find myself in my heart and my soul and know what makes me happy. And there's nothing wrong with stuff, but stuff makes you temporary happy. You know, money makes temporary happiness happen. Yeah, it allows you to take care of other people. But, you know, we're in a world right now, especially with the pandemic, if you feel off, if you feel different and you're rocking and rolling in this industry, speak up to somebody, because you do not want to go down the road that I did. You will be a runaway freight train. And there are so many drugs out there, from the fentanyl and everything else that I'm reading about, that you don't get more than one shot trying it, because you're going to be 6 feet under. And I just thank God a lot of that stuff wasn't around when I was growing up in the industry, because I certainly would not be here to talk to you about it.
Do you, wow, man. Do you feel like, I don't know, this might be an obvious question, but, you know, I'm just thinking back to the National, and I got to meet you in person at the National. You know, lots of young people with lots of value in their backpacks and in their cards. Is it a fair assumption that, you know, a percentage of these people are teetering? Like, could there, like, is it likely that people are teetering on the brink of what you're talking about? And what can we as a hobby, a fellow collector, what can we be doing to try and spot some of these to help?
100% it's happening. It happens every weekend at the shows. What do you do to blow off steam? You go out drink, you go out partying, or making a ton of money. Life is great. But also you got to check yourself and you got to find out what your motives are. Like, why is it, you know, what's going on within you? You know, for me, I was for a long time living to basically use, and then using to live. And it sneaks up on you real freaking quick, because you start believing the BS and you start believing the hype, you know? Start being of service to other people, you know, get out of your own head is a great way to deal with mental health and substance abuse. You know, be a giving, kind-hearted person. You know, it's not about I, it's about we and us. And if you have that ability at such a young age where you're rocking around, you're able to talk to a therapist, mother, father, friend, somebody else in the hobby that you could trust, it'll be the best decision you ever make, because you're not going to be alone long enough to enjoy the money. Not going to happen.
Were you able to find any of that support in the hobby itself from hobby friends and contacts?
I wasn't, but I'll tell you, I went to the National in Chicago 2 years ago with my social media manager, Patrick. And man, I've had some of the most incredible interviews, experiences. I've been on Jay Shetty, one of the biggest podcasts in the world, Chris Cuomo, Pride Time, Extra, Dr. Oz, Entertainment Tonight, Maria Bartiromo. I mean, a ton of them. Good Day New York, Fox and Friends, Tucker Carlson. But the feeling that I had when I walked into the National in Chicago, which was about 8 or 9 months after Aiming High came out. And I give all the credit to my writer and my publisher and God, because it became an international bestseller in 4 countries. I got stopped. I'm not even kidding you, man. It gets me emotional. I would have thought I was one of my clients. I got stopped by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, as well as dealers that I grew up in the hobby with that never knew. From Kit Young, Jeff Rosenberg, dear friend Bobby Mintz, the list goes on. And these people, just Bob Rose, they just knew that, you know, they all felt my pain. Rich Altman, may he rest in peace. I just couldn't believe that the respect and the love and the support. But I think they were all so hurt, too, that they didn't see it. Bobby Mintz was one of the few that saw it. Bobby reminded me of an appearance we had with Magic in L.A. probably about 13, 14 years, a bit longer than that, maybe 15, 16 years ago. And he goes, you don't remember, you were lying on the back of the floor in the room when he was signing, sweating, you didn't feel good. And I said to Jeff, he's not right. He's on something. And, you know, so he was one of the few, but I'm getting stopped, man, by people I didn't even know that are thanking me for writing the book, thanking for saving their life. Fathers, sons that said, you changed my son's life. He's been sober for 3 months because of you. It was just, it was incredible because I wrote it as a form of therapy for myself, but to get stopped and have people asking me for pictures and, you know, talking about the book, it became my life's purpose. You know, my pain in life became my purpose. And the same thing this year, you know, I went in 3 days early because I wanted to buy a bunch of cards. I was with my girlfriend, Nicolette, and we only had Hulk there on Saturday. I mean, Steve Grouse, I thought, let's go to every 5 feet I can't walk with people. I love what you're doing. Keep up the great work, man. They're not talking about Prince Marketing Group. They're talking about my global advocacy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's what defines me. That's when I go to heaven one day and I think I'm going to get there. I don't want anything about the ancient life on my tombstone, my coffin. I already said it. He was a degenerate drug addict that was brought to his knees. And by the grace of God, he rose to his feet and he sprinkled hope and recovery across the world so others can live the life they were meant to live.
Yeah. Good on you, man. I mean, that's really powerful. We're getting lots of comments, lots of support in the chat. So thanks for sharing, Darren. I mean, seriously, that I could tell you get emotional talking about it, and it's a powerful thing. So, and I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell you, man, we're going to get to somebody on this show. I guarantee you that's why it's getting to me, because I know every single time I do an interview or I do a speech, there's somebody that reaches out, and I know that I'm saving somebody's mom, a mom and dad's child, and you know, it's just no better feeling. I can close the biggest sports or entertainment marketing deal in the world. And that's good and great, but I'm not going to get Mark Cuban and Jeannie Buss to pat me on the back the way they gave me testimonials for my book, you know, because every single one of them, every single person listening to this knows somebody suffering from the opiate epidemic, you know? So what I did was I just took my platform I was blessed to build in the business, and now I'm throwing it out to the universe because I'm so transparent. I don't even care. I mean, I love it. It's what makes me me. And each time I know that I'm saving somebody that reaches out, you know, that's why I've built the self-esteem, Jeremy. Yeah. That's where I came from, doing esteemable acts, not from the fancy cars and the big baseball card deals and a ton of cash and all the beautiful women. And no, that doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. I developed my self-esteem. I started this journey 13 years by giving back and helping others. And that's why I say, if you want to really build that inner peace, that self-confidence, instead of exteriorly, but doing internally, be a service to others. We all know somebody suffering, whether it's mental health, substance abuse, depression, stress, heartbreak, job issues, health problems. Anybody listening, you wake up on Monday or Tuesday and you think you've got a lot of crap going on, think about who you know that's suffering. Get out of your own head and reach out to that person. And you tell me that doesn't help your day. You tell me when you get off that call or stop texting or emailing that person, if you're going to go back to obsessing on what you have going on. No, because most of us have luxury problems at the end of the day. It's our perspective and our perception about it all that screws up our thought process.
Yeah. Well said. Well said.
We got about 4 minutes, man. So what else?
All right. Well, okay. So let's go back to cards. I appreciate that. I'm sure the audience does too, guys. So thanks, Darren, for sharing that real personal stuff. What are you currently buying as far as sports cards goes? What do you collect? Are you a collector? Are you an investor? Where are you at right now? What do you like in the hobby?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I buy a lot of my client stuff, like the Bird Magic, Irving rookies. I got a bunch of nines on those. I bought a bunch of Tom Brady's. I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I know the documentary's coming out. And I got very fortunate before we knew they were going to win the Super Bowl again. I started buying them in a low, the Bowman Chromes of a few tens in November of last year when they weren't even going to make the playoffs. Not because I thought he'd win the Super Bowl, but because I knew the... what's the name of the documentary? It's coming out in a couple of weeks. The Man, I keep seeing the teasers. Sure. I can't remember the name. It's on ESPN because, you know, being with Rodman and working with Scotty over the years, I saw what The Last Dance did to their market. So I'm like, if you could just follow the trends, Magic's got a documentary coming out. Bird's going to obviously be an integral part of that. Anybody listening, get the Kareems and the Worthies and Coopers, the guys that are undervalued, because once that documentary hits, it's, you know, that's the power of media. You can't buy that type of advertising. And then I'm trying to think other vintage stuff. Jerry West is a client. So I bought couple of real nice high-end 61-62 Fleers, which are always nice. And I can't even believe how many I must have had years ago that were gems that I don't have anymore. Lawrence Taylor, I thought was very undervalued, I'm from New Jersey, so being from New York, I bought a couple of gorgeous 10 rookies. Love Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. I've worked with them over the years, bought a bunch of them. But I'm like, how are 10 Rices and Montanas 40, 50,000 and LT, who's considered the greatest ever, is around the 8 to 10,000 mark? Yeah, I understand people sometimes look at the off the field behavior, but to me, he's undervalued. And then I got very lucky with some of the modern stuff. I'm a diehard Charger fan, and I went real big on Justin Haber a year ago after he almost beat the Chiefs, and he wasn't supposed to start that game, game one. I called up Jason Koons from Otis Sports, who's a dear friend, and I go, bro, what do you think? He goes, you know, I don't know about him. Try to buy this one, that one. And I just went on a bender. My drug addict mentality is the same way I buy cards. I go all in. And before you know it, I got like 150 raw ones coming in. And, you know, he sent them all to PSA for me. It took about 8 months. And I got them all back. And I got a lot of them sitting in the safe. And he's a stud. He's a beast. I'm pretty excited about it.
Right on. So, listen, I mean, we have a couple more minutes with you. You, again, you've been around the hobby for a long time. You saw in 89 when the Honus Wagner sold for $451,000 that the big money had their eyes on this hobby. Now here we are 30 something years later, and it's kind of, I don't want to say full circle, but it's kind of like where it was back then, but it's a lot bigger now. What are your thoughts on the current state of the hobby?
I think it's in great shape. I mean, I think it's becoming as mainstream as it's ever been. I love a lot of the celebrities coming in and buying and being vocal about it on their social media. You know, I know a lot of people are frustrated with PSA and the grading system, so they're going to other companies that do the grading, whether it's Beckett or some new ones that are out there. And I just think I think everything right now just seems to be on fire. There was a big dip, obviously, in February, March, and April after Golden hit that record high on the Jordan rookie. But, you know, I would have thought that would have happened anyway. It's just like the cryptocurrency industry. You know, it goes up, it goes down. I think Jordan's probably the right time to buy because it took such a dip off. But I just love, you know, when you go to the National, you see that type of crowd there, man. And I'm going to some local shows that my girlfriend and I went to Long Beach about a week ago. It just took a ride. I loved it. I just walking around, just seeing the energy of people being there again. I think it's just a great way to connect. I think the shows in general and collecting now with this pandemic and everything that we've all been through, I think connection is so important and the excitement. And now there's such real money in it that I just think it's getting bigger and bigger and just going to keep booming. I mean, autograph trading cards are on fire right now. Fire. I mean, every time I book signings for my guys, we booked Larry Bird, and I can't even tell you, it's like 75% now seem to be cards versus memorabilia. It's incredible.
Certainly is, man. And last topic I'll ask you to speak to before I let you go. So Fanatics, as you likely have heard, has announced, you know, they're going to have all these licenses moving forward and within a few years. What are your thoughts on the future of the hobby? Again, from somebody who had boxes of 61 Fleer basketball and held 75, 52 Topps Mickey Mantles. What do you think about the end of Topps as far the potential end of Topps as far as baseball cards go?
I mean, it's sad if it's the end of a Topps ever, but I mean, with Michael Rubin and those guys, I love Fanatics, their family. I mean, they're the behemoth, they're the giant elephant. No one's ever going to be able to touch them. And it would be sad, Panini, all that, and Fanatics when it does come to kind of take over, but you got to believe they're in the best hands possible to take it to even a higher level. You know, that's the one thing when you've got a $18, $20 billion evaluation. I just hope it doesn't affect the average collector that wants to get some stuff and it puts it out of their price range. You know, I hope all that's kept in mind because, you know, the hobby should be for everybody in all sorts of income, whether you have $100 to spend or $100,000 on any given month. And that's the joy of the collecting part, you know, and give people the chance where you know, you can open up a pack during a pack break that's a $50, $100 pack and still have a shot to, you know, pull a $100,000, $200,000 card out of it instead of pricing those boxes where, you know, the average person can't afford it. So a rich person buys the box, a rich person gets the card, you know? Yeah.
True enough. True enough. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure.
So you mentioned, you know, you're old school. You know a lot of the legendary names in the hobby, including Ken Golden, who's been the guest on this show a couple of times in the past year or so. And Ken's obviously become somewhat of the face of the hobby when it comes to gaining, you know, kind of mainstream attention. He's got a TV show coming out, I believe, in 2022. They're going to production next month called The Golden Touch. All that said, Darren, you know, he's an interesting guy in the hobby. He's got a big presence. You go back in time with Ken, and if you do, what can you kind of tell us about, you know, you OG guys that were traveling in those circles back then? What should today's hobby know about you guys from back then?
Well, we both had fathers that were very influential. You know, his dad, Paul, you know, with Scoreboard, and, you know, he taught Kenny the right thing, and they built up something very special then. I remember the Scoreboard certificate of authenticity that came with all the autographed memorabilia items, and it's so funny how easily they could have been duped, but that was like the holy grail of certificates before Upper Deck even came around. And just a piece of paper with a facsimile signature, little black print on like a tan background. And, you know, Kenny and I've never had a disagreement. He came by my place about 4 or 5 months ago when he was in town, which was nice. And yeah, what he's done is incredible. Really, truly incredible. I'm sure his dad's looking down, shaking his head like, wow. And his mom and his family's proud of him because, you know, he's always done it right.
Yeah. Okay. Good to hear. So, okay. All right, now, man. Listen, what's that?
Thank you. We got it in. I did the best I can. We could do part two if we want down the road.
All right, man. That sounds good, Darren. Thanks for keeping the appointment. I appreciate it. You're off to the championship fight tonight, the Fury Wilder fight. You're going with Oscar De La Hoya.
Well, we're going with, but I'm not sure. I don't think we're sitting with, but we're going to be really down low, so you guys still might see me as long as we're in the building. I think we're in the third row.
That's very cool. Well, enjoy the fight. Enjoy your stay in Vegas. Thanks again for joining us. And
thanks, man. And anybody reach out for me if they need some help. Most importantly, at @agent_DP, I'll send out free copies of Aiming High to anybody that wants it.
That's a great offer, man. Thank you. I've had your Instagram going on the ticker throughout the show here and there, so people can see it, but I'll let you go, man. I'm going to stick around for a few more minutes with the audience, but thanks, Darren. Take care, man. Have fun tonight.
Talk soon.
Have fun. All right. Well, there we have it, Darren Prince. I did not know if he was going to make it because he is seems to be a pretty busy guy, but thanks to Darren for coming out. And yeah, I just really appreciate him making the time. Hopefully that was enjoyable and informative, and even some really important information there too. So just to remind everybody, so I'm going to be coming live in about 30 minutes or so with Scott Rogowski. We're going to come on another, a new stream. Check that out on the channel. We'll be back. But I do have a few minutes here, so I'm going to go back to the comments from earlier. There were some that I did want to touch on. So when I was talking about the Gretzky and that, I'm also going to remind everybody yet again that we have the Toronto Expo November 11th to 14th, the Vancouver show November 19th to 21st. Their websites are on the ticker right now, so be sure to check those out if you can. And I just wanted to take a quick peek here. At some copies, Jordan says, I was just curious for authenticity, 86 Fleer Jordan. Now, that would be another example. Yes, you need to, if you're buying raw Jordan rookies, make sure you either know what you're doing or that you're buying from a very trustworthy person. That's very, very important. Eric says, people ask me all the time about all the cards I have ready to grade. It's over 7,200 cards now, and they have to stay raw, and they have stayed raw forever. Well, it's a big decision sometimes, right? Very big decision. Daniel liked the IPL. So again, this is the Gretzky that I showed that I was talking about before Darren joined us, but a raw card that I bought sort of sight unseen, but was a great one, definitely. Ken Richardson says, if you are going to the show in Vancouver, in British Columbia, swing by his Langley shop just down the road, past time collectibles. Make sure you go see Ken at Pastime. He's got four hobby shops in the BC area. Victor, I know these comments are old, everybody, but if you're still here, thank you, Victor. Great to see you. James, right on, right? Who needs to go see a fight when you can hang out on Sports Cards Live? But hey, we'll understand it. Center fielder, thank you so much. Barbara, great to see you. And then we had David from Germany. Thank you so much for joining us. And now I'm seeing the comments about some of Darren's stories. Yeah, like this guy had three unopened 61-62 Fleer basketball boxes, three of them, that he got for $7,500 each. The lady wanted $2,500 and he paid her $7,500. That was a great story. And I think it was DR that asked the question. Yeah, this question here, DR, that you asked. And then he kind of asked, you know, what advice do you give people on how to maintain trust in business? And then I think later on you mentioned that, you know, he right here, his story answered your question without a need to ask it, because he talked about how his father taught him a really good lesson. Be fair with people. I think that was very, very well said. Definitely well said. So thank you for that. Daniel says, my God, see, this is why you have the best show. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for the stories, Darren. Yeah, he had to come and go pretty quick there, guys. But I'm glad we had him for the time that we did. Really great to get to introduce him to all of you tonight. Definitely. David, appreciate all your comments throughout. Lapper, good evening to you. Keep shedding that stigma that comes with mental health. No doubt. Great, great advice. Skeppy says, as a flipper and business person, you can't think about woulda, coulda, shoulda. The right decisions during those time is how you get to where you want to be. Yeah, pretty well said. Pretty well said. Lots of David comments. Appreciate that. Yeah, his stories were very, very powerful. Here we go. Let's see what Nice Looking Cardboard says. I'm with you about stuff doesn't make you happy 100%. But what's a little thing that gives you a happy buzz? Might cost $1 or $10,000. That's what great cards are to me. Yeah, cards can actually make us happy. I think about cards. They put a smile on my face. Cards, the community, all of that, for sure. Daniel Busby is someone that goes to pain management to be held accountable for the opioids I need. I'm sorry you had to go through opioid addictions. Prayers for you, sir. Very nice, Daniel. Tom Bullard says, mental health and the way the system passes it off is sad state and needs to change. Very well said. David says it. Valuetainment's Patrick Bet David, who's been on this show before, talks about those challenges as well. No doubt. Rich, always great to see you. It's always nice when you see one old school, one kind of hobby lifer, an OG, recognize another one and make those comments. I appreciate that, Rich. Thanks for joining. James lets us know that the Brady doc he thinks is called Man in the Arena. Okay, got to try to remember that now. Adventures with Troy. I better get me some Jeremy Lee rookie cards. I bet his documentary is coming out soon. This is my documentary, Troy. This is it. This is it right here. Joe, great to see you. Joe was on vacation in Hawaii. Welcome back, sir. Hope you had a great trip. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate that. Thank you, Gimmicky Fibers. Appreciate it. You'll repeat, Rich. Yes, Darren is a great guy, for sure. I mean, he had all the opportunities to cancel. So we've had this plan for a while, and he stuck with it. So I'm grateful for him for that. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate that. Incredible interview. His kindness and giving nature is truly special, especially being someone in his position. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, okay, guys, it's we got about 20 minutes before we're going to start the next show with Scott Rogalski. Scott, if you happen to be watching right now, it's kind of funny tonight. I realized it earlier today. Both of tonight's guests have the blue check mark on Instagram. Both Darren Prince has it, and Scott Rogalski has the blue check mark as well. So I know Patrick Bet David was on this show. He has the blue check mark. I don't know if he's the only one. Ken has it now. Ken Golden has it. So we've had a few blue checkmark guests on the show before, but two in one night, that might be, it's a record. It can't really be beat for myself and Sports Cards Live. So we do have Scott coming on soon. He's got a lot of things going on. Funny guy and a really good guy, actually. So Scott, if you're there, we'll go live shortly. As soon as he's in the back room, guys, I will start that next episode. So please be patient and watch the channel for that to go live. Any other questions, comments? Happy to sit here for a couple of more minutes while I see if you guys fire out anything else. I'll let you know that tomorrow on Collectible Live, as you probably know, I'm doing the Collectible Live show on the Collectible YouTube channel. It's on the ticker right now, youtube.com/collectibleapp. Guest tomorrow night is a gentleman who is known on Instagram as That's the Old Price. His name is That's the Old Price. Rob Servideo on Instagram is That's the Old Price. He has an amazing collection, so he'll be our guest tomorrow night on the Collectible Live show. Check that out. Let's shout out the Big Three Hockey again on Instagram. Check these guys out. Been the great supporters of this show for a year now, thanks to them. Shout out to Whatnot, new channel supporters. Very grateful for them and their, again, support and love what they're doing over on Whatnot. And next Saturday on Sports Cards Live, we'll be back to the regular time next week. Brian Dwyer is the president of Robert Edward Auctions. I bought several cards off of them over the years, and I've only met him very briefly at the National, like a quick hello, but excited for that. And then we've got the PWCC extended bidding for the Premier Auction coming up on the 23rd. Adam Gray, the Real 27 guy, will be joining again for that. So check all that out, guys. I'm going to end this episode right now, and we'll see you back on After Hours in within 15 or 20 minutes. Thank you, everybody. See you then. Hope you enjoyed this.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.